Pro Talk with ProTech, digging deep to learn the stories, lessons, and accomplishments of experts in the real estate industry.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Pro Talk with ProTech. I'm your host, Ashley Walcott, and today our guest is RJ Braden with the Braden Group of Berkshire Hathaway. Welcome, RJ. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. Super excited.
Yes, not a problem. I appreciate you taking the time out. We usually like to start off with a quick icebreaker. If you had anywhere to live in the world other than the country you're in now, where would you go and why?
I'm a beach guy, right? So I like warm weather. I like the sand in between my toes. I like the ocean. So as long as I have a beach and an ocean, I think it's fair to say it doesn't matter where. I could go anywhere. You give me a beach, give me an ocean, and place me there.
I definitely agree. I'm Aquarius myself, so I love the water. I love the beach. I just love the whole vibe about it. So I definitely agree. Okay, perfect. Well, let's just start off with something that's good that's happened to you recently. Do you have any positive notes you'd like to share?
In life and business, my life is pretty good. My team is off. So I have a real estate team here of 8 people at Berkshire Hathaway. We're probably off to my best start of my career as a team. It's definitely a highlight moving into 2024 with the landscape of the business changing.
Wow, perfect. And how long has your team been in business?
We have been operating for about 9 years. So we've had a fair amount of growth with the team, but the Breeding Group of Berkshire Hathaway, we've been together for about.
Nice. Well, congratulations. I know sometimes building out a team can be quite difficult, so that's always a pleasure to hear. Yeah, so just to kind of dive right into just kind of really how you ended up here, share your story a little bit more with us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I came from a hospitality industry. I was in the restaurant and bar industry for about 15 years. I love providing a service to people. And individuals in the restaurant business, being a bartender or a waiter, you got to have most of the time a positive impact on people's experience. And then with that being said, you know, real estate still gives me that same ability. So 98% of the time, it's a positive experience. You deal, unfortunately, with the other 2% of death and divorce, which nobody really loves, but it's kind of part of life sometimes. So 98% of the time, you're helping that person get chapter of their life, whether they're selling or they're buying or become first-time home buyers or moving their family to a better school district, better neighborhood. And it really has an impact on not only the buyer's life, seller's life, but the individuals associated with that. Having a interest in real estate, I decided that, hey, let's give this a try. And the first few years weren't easy. It was a real hustle. And I think in this business, you have to be laser focused on what your goals are and how to achieve them and have an action. And when you do so, I think to a certain point, once you get to that level, it's kind of repetitive, right? What made you successful in this business or to get to this level? And I think a lot of people forget the basic fundamentals of this business. It's a contacts. It's a people connections. Over the last 2-3 years, people have gotten more lucky in this business than they've gotten skilled. And they forgot the fundamentals in the process. In COVID times, people were calling out of the woodwork, but like nobody was really focusing on their business. The fundamentals of what got them there, could get them there, building relationships, maybe writing note cards, emailing your database, calling people that you have relationships with. Over the last, I'm going to tell you, in 9 years or so, it's been really rewarding to, one, move from the hospitality industry, yet still providing the consumer with a service that is rewarding. And I'm very blessed to do so. And more importantly, what you put into real estate is what you get out of it. You know, I think there's a lot of average people making average money. They're, you know, with a little adjustment or tweak or daily habits or execution on a daily basis, I think they could have an even more successful or rewarding career.
I definitely do agree. When you have a really structure of your day and just a structure in really general, it really operates to success, you know? If you were to think back of just like maybe three business maintenance activities that you do either on a daily or just weekly basis, what are those activities you do to accomplish and kind of sets yourself apart each day?
I try to meet people or go out of my way in relation to building relationships in and around the community. So when you become an asset to a community, a neighborhood, a networking group, a sports organization, a rec center, a community center, it's not work, right? It's just like you're doing fun activities or, you know, a nonprofit, you're meeting people. But when you become an asset, it's really hard to get rid of an asset, a valuable person in an organization. And I think when you become an asset to those types of, I say, fun activities or fun things or board members or schools or universities, it doesn't feel like work. So I try to connect with organizations and groups and charity events and charity outings to become a part of that organization. Secondly is like, you know, once you build the relationship, it's maintaining that relationship. So what does that look like? Is it phone calls? Is it emails? Is it text messages? And it's done consistently, right? You know, days where you really don't feel like talking to people, but like you got to pick up the phone and you got to maintain that relationship. You have to answer questions. You have to continue to add value to that relationship. So I think that's number two. And then it's like being aggressive. You have to have a drive to be successful. And the execution of the daily things that I do, whether it's writing note cards, sending mailers, identifying investment properties, identifying investors that are in certain neighborhoods, it's a people contact sport, right? The more people you meet, the greater your chances are, the higher your odds are to maybe build a relationship with that person and or cultivate new business or maintain that business.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like you kind of hit the nail on the head with that one for sure. Because, you know, I feel like some people with these relationships, it's easy to build it, but not as easy to maintain it. So I think you really...
Especially in this world right now.
For sure. Everyone's always doing something and it's kind of hard to catch people at the right time sometimes. But yeah, you need to nurture that for sure. Now thinking kind of a little bit outside of reality, what are you passionate about?
My top ones are my children. You can be a business success, but a life failure. You can be a life success, but a business failure. So I say having a blended combo of both is very important. I'm my children's sports coach, present in the evening, take my kids to school. I pick them up from school. So I think that's a huge passion to me, is being a father to my kids. I love fast cars. I've always been a car guy from a young age. Probably one of the reasons why I try to be successful and or work extremely hard, because I don't want to let my 12-year-old self down, if that statement makes sense, right? Because a 12-year-old kid loves the high-end sports car. You know, so when I look back on life, I want to own one or two of them. And it has nothing to do with showing off or buying an expensive car. It has everything to do with going after your dreams of accomplishing success in however you define it, which I think is extremely important. And then sports, right? I love sports. I could watch any sport for the most part. One of my true passions is basketball. I love college basketball. And then over the last few years, I've gotten a little bit more into the NBA because my son is taking a liking to the NBA. So I love being a father. That's my number one passion. I love sports and in any sport, really. And then obviously cars is
a passion. And right. So of course. And it really does seem like you have a really life and work balance. So it's always really good. I'm kind of interested to hear what are some things that you really do in your morning routine to kind of set you up for that success?
You know, I leverage, like I've hired the right people in my business that allows me to free up some of my time, whether it's working with buyers. I have buyer specialists on my team because I know that on a Tuesday night, I don't want to run out and show somebody a house in the evenings if I don't have to, because I'm more connected to the child.
Right.
Right. You know, as a parent, you probably have 13 years of being a parent before they kind of get their own attitude or own direction in life and really don't need you anymore. So I got 13 years, and that's not a lot of years of being a parent or being a father. So I give up a monetary amount to those that are on my team to hopefully increase their life or their livelihoods. And it allows me to give up money to free up time. So that's one of the teams that I do, right? I can't be afraid. I got to trust.
Right.
I got to respect. And I need to, I say, allow my team members or associates to be credible in the industry that we're in. And then morning routines, right? Like, it's get up. It's work out. It's go through your finances. It's pay your bills, right? A lot of people put those things on the back burner when they need to be faced head on. And with that being said, you know, have a cup of coffee, get the kids ready for school, get them out the door. I'm in the office early. I'm in the office. You know, I say early. It's as early as I can be, given that I have to take kids to school. But I'm in here by 8:30 every morning. And most of the realtors that I see in and around the office, they're coming in 10:30, 11. I'm already 3 hours, 4 hours ahead of you. I got to jump on you. Now, look, my day may end at 5 o'clock, 4:30. And the date never really ends, right? Just because I'm not showing houses or going on a listing appointment doesn't mean I'm not working. My transaction coordinator, Bobby Evans, like, we're on the phone probably till 10, 10:30 at night throughout the night, texting, getting deals done, finding solutions to problems, navigating issues, making sure T's are crossed and I's are dotted. So from a routine standpoint, I think it's more of like an execution standpoint. It's how fast you execute on things that you need to get done as a real estate agent or any profession. You know, if you're in the office at 7 a.m. and you're done your execution on the day by 9 a.m., go about your day. But most people in the real estate industry come into the office and just stay busy, not really ever execute.
Yeah.
They will accomplish because they walk through the office door. It's like going on the gym, not picking up a weight. When you say, what does your daily task look like? They could be anything, right? If I got things to do in the afternoon, like, I'm executing at a faster, higher level in the morning and checking off those boxes. And I think that goes a really, really long way to my success. But it's done daily, right? It's done Monday through Friday. It's done 7 days a week. It's answering phone calls. It's answering emails. Yeah, it's sending emails at night at 10 o'clock at night. So in the morning, hopefully they're answered by 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Instead of sending that email at 9 a.m. waiting for a response all day.
Exactly. That definitely makes sense. If you were to just really kind of think back in your real estate career and think about maybe what someone said or did, what might have been a pivotal point in your career that really was eye-opening?
You know, for me, I was talking to a high-level producer, and he said, RJ, you have the ability to shake trees and make things fall, but your organization of those things are not that great. And I'm like, oh, damn, that hit me, right? That hit me hard. Because I'm like, man, here I am. I'm trying to be like you. And so, who I was talking to at the time. And he said, at that point, it clicked to me. And I'm like, I got to go hire somebody that is better at organizing than me. And when I leveraged that, I became more successful in my industry because now I leverage the lack of organization that I have. I hired somebody that is super organized, and they organize my business and my life to keep me on track. Then it allows me to hold myself more accountable because I have to pay their salary on a weekly basis or a bi-weekly basis. And now they're depending on me, myself. So I go out there and I shake as many trees as I can, and I get as many listings as I can, and I get as many buyers as I can, and I network as hard as I can, because I know behind me, I have the support that is going to, one, stay busy, two, keep me organized, and three, cares about my success and their own success. that was a pivotal point in my career. And it took me 3.5, 4 years to realize that. I was doing good. I had a good career. But to get to that next level, I had to elevate myself. And that was a big step for me in the growth and hiring process.
For sure. For sure. I'm glad it can really be eye-opening for you. You know, sometimes it doesn't hit you the same at first when you first hear it until you kind of ponder on it. So yeah, I really like that one. Kind of all these different changes happening in the industry, how do you just kind of plan to personally shift or pivot or just even adjust to those changes?
Yeah, so like it's the elephant in the room, right? But like I tell my team members, I tell myself this, it's like you can only control what you can control. So we can't control that new law that may or may not get, you know, the settlement's been made, but like nobody knows really has an answer July 1. But what I can do is continue to work my ass off until July 1 to try to figure it out or overcome it. As a buyer's agent, the buyers need to understand the buying process. You know, any one of my buyer's specialists on my team needs to have a buyer's agency agreement signed before they take their client out. Nobody does that shit anymore. They're like, Zillow lead, I got one out, open this door. And I'm like, did I miss something here? Like, we forgot the steps in the process to make your job easier. The buyers create, you know, their expectations clear to the buyer's agent. The buyer's agent has expectations of the buyers. And in this industry, in this fast-paced world, it's swipe right, swipe right, swipe right, show me this house. I think when you set clear and honest and real expectations, it makes the buying or selling process easier. So like to say like, hey, how are you going to navigate July 1? That's unfair, right? Because like we understand that the industry is changing. We understand that a lot of things have changed over the last 3, 4 years in the world. Just like some people wanted to wear a mask and some people didn't want to wear a mask. People, they understood and they learned how to navigate through those challenging times. And I think from a real estate perspective, the good agents are going to understand it and realize how to navigate through those times. It's the agents that aren't producing or lack of producing. Or let's go back to the fundamentals of the business. Adapt no fundamentals.
Yeah.
To get business. Nobody, they've just been thrown to the wolves. There's no teaching. There's no, you know, foundation to their business. Yeah, it's going to be really tough for them to try to get a buyer because they pay $500 a month for Zillow lead. And then that Zillow buyer doesn't have the money to pay their commission, or they don't understand how to offer a credit on the seller side to pay a commission. I think it goes back to the fundamentals. If you're getting buyer's agency agreement signed in the correct way and explaining it the correct way, I don't really think the buyer's agent's income changes, right? Because like,
yeah,
I talk and I network with the best guys in the country. There's an agent out in the Midwest. He gets 4% on every buy side. He only works with buyers and gets 4% out of them. So guess what? You better be providing value to the consumer to get that 4%. He's essentially getting 1.5% over what every other buyer's agent out there is getting. Why? How's he doing that?
Only this value.
You know, a lot of people are at different brokerages. What value does that brokerage provide to that real estate agent? You know, what tools do they allow that agent to have or access to use on a daily basis to be successful? And like that's how I think of the industry. What are you providing as a realtor to your consumer? What tools, knowledge do you bring to the table? Experience.
Which it is, which it is. I do agree. If you can think of maybe any books or maybe any videos that really inspired you, do you have any recommendations you'd like to say to our audience?
One of the things that changed in my life, and it's not really real estate related, but I see it a lot in the industry. I say the party atmosphere in relation to, there's always a social gathering. There's always a happy hour. There's always a party. And especially like in Christmas time, there's always a Christmas party, right? So us realtors, we go out, we party, we drink, we hang out, right? And then like we're hungover the next day naturally because we just partied it up with everybody in the industry. It's been a great. About 10 years ago, I got sober. It really gave me clarity about the small things done on a daily basis. And for me, that's been a reminder on a daily basis. Like, yeah, could I go out and drink today? Yeah, sure, 100%. Am I mature enough in my mind to, you know, not get carried away or, you know, go overboard? Yeah, absolutely. But I also don't have to worry about the bullshit that comes with it, right? Whether it's a flat tire, a DWI, being hungover, not returning one of my clients' phone calls. So Darren Hardy, The Compound Effect, just talks about the small things done over a long period of time. So I put it back into my life and my business, right? I don't need to like go mail 6 million flyers on a Tuesday afternoon. No, I probably just need to write 5 note cards a day for 30 days consistently. And then it takes the peaks and valleys out of my business. And if you look at the success I've had over the years, it's been consistent more than the peaks and valleys. And that's what I'm grateful for. Whether it's going to the gym or working out or mailing your database, whatever that may be, the Darren Hardy, The Compound Effect is my best book, my favorite. And I think when you implement that into life and business, you don't have to be an overnight success. It's taken me a long time to be successful. And I want so much more for myself and for my family. But at the end of the day, it's the small things you do on a daily basis that allow you to be more successful. So many people in this industry, the younger people, want instant gratification because they can swipe right for a date. They can swipe right for a car. They can swipe right for food online. Get into the real estate business, and then next thing you know, they're like, I don't have any legals. I'm like, well, no shit.
Yeah.
I haven't done anything to
get anything.
Nobody showed them they need a foundation to the business. That's, you know, steroids are like the buying the leads, the Zillow leads, whatever that may be. But like, you have to have a foundation to your business. Any business has a foundation. Any relationship has a foundation of some kind, you know? And I think that goes a long way.
It definitely does go a long way. Without foundation, there's nothing. So I definitely agree. Now, if you were to think about some of the goals that you really have for your team in this upcoming quarter, because we're almost done with this one, what are you guys really focusing on?
For me and my team right now, I'm going to tell you, it's really like branding ourselves. For me, it's more of a social media standpoint. Each and every one of my team members has individual goals. We have a team goal? Yeah, sure. Absolutely. But with that being said, like, one of my bigger goals for each and every one of my team members is to stay consistent, right? Consistency, whether you're doing open houses consistently, networking events consistently, reaching out to your database consistently. I'm going to tell you, consistently wins, and that wins every time. So for me, with my team, is to just to try to hold them like more accountable, again, more consistent with what they do.
We can do a million different things that are good, but if we're not doing consistently, what is it adding up to?
Yeah, or you could be a jack of all trades and a master of none. You know, you're working with a renter, a buyer, a seller, two sellers, five buyers, one renter. How do you service those clients correctly? Because
right,
they don't have the structure in their life to make sure that they execute at a high level.
That's true. That is very true. Kind of just thinking back of just kind of the best advice you've received or even learned about reaching a difficult goal or just achieving overall success, what comes to mind?
Some of the best advice I got in my life is silence the competition or silence people with success. So like whatever you define success as, just be successful at it, right? I think there's a Darren Hardy, the crab trap theory. Like your friends around you or your social circles, they want to see you do well, but necessarily they don't want to see you do better. And as you evolve in a career or life, like there's a crab that climbs out of tries to climb out of the crab trap. And what happens if you ever watch that is the crab eventually gets pulled down and the other crabs break their legs in the crab trap. I think it says a lot about like two things there, right? Silence the crowd with success, mm-hmm. but also as your life evolves, surround yourself with more successful people that allow you to elevate and that you learn from. There's a quote like, if you're the sharpest person in the room, you're probably in the wrong room. I don't necessarily agree with that, but like I always try to put myself in the right rooms to have the right conversations with the right people. If I don't feel comfortable in that room in relation to maybe a networking event or where I'm at, I just leave. Really, it's like what you put into this business is what you get out of it, especially in relation to real estate. But like what you put in life, it's what you get out of it. So they're kind of two in the same, especially as a business owner, right? Like what you put into your business, your heart, soul, like that's your driving force to your life. And I think that is a really good, sound advice to anyone getting in the real estate business. What you're going to put into this real estate business is what you're going to get out of. 6 months from now, what you're putting in is what you're getting out of. 12 months from now, what you're putting in is what you're getting out of it. And so many people jump into the industry full throttle and then have a success, and then they're up here
and goes down. No, I definitely agree. And especially with a lot of that just kind of going around, you personally, what is your favorite part about just being in the industry and kind of just serving your client?
No day is the same, right? No day is the same. So every day you wake up, I wake up with the same passion that I had the day before. Oh, with the ability to add value to people's lives. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, no day is the same. No neighborhood I go to, no listing appointment I go to, people I meet, phone conversations, there's always challenges with deals and people. And for me, that's the exciting part. And then when you get challenged with a problem, creating a solution. You know, not all days are sunshine and rainbows, but it challenges me to be a better me and a better business owner. And I think that's to me, the joy in it, right? Like you're going to see cool houses. You're going to meet good people. You're going to see all different kinds of living condition. And it really makes you feel fortunate sometimes. So for me, that's the highlight of being a realtor is no day's the same.
Yeah, definitely keeps things interesting for sure. Okay, well, thank you so much, RJ, for being on our show today. I really appreciate you taking out the time.
Thanks for having me. It's been a great interview.
Of course. And I hope everyone has a great rest of your day. And remember, if you're looking for...
Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Pro Talk with ProTech. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and follow ProTech Inspection Services on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.